So I'm driving in my neighborhood, and I come up to a two-way stop, and I look at the, you know, I'm looking left and right. Anyway, I kind of notice something on the lawn to my left. It's like, well, the grass is mowed, but there's some kind of lump there in the middle of it, this big grayish lump. And so I park my car in the driveway, walk over to the lump, and I knew that it was something. It looked like it was a possum or something that was over there in broad daylight in a lawn. So I'm thinking, God, that's odd. But it's not moving. So I knew immediately it's a dead animal of some kind. Either it's going to be a pigeon or a possum or something, but it's way up in the lawn. Didn't look like a car really hit it and sent it up there. So I approach this gray lump in the middle of this beautiful green grass, and I notice that it's a cat. What appears to be a Siamese cat, which are not really feral, you know. So it's, it looks like it's somebody's pet, but it's not quite a cat because it was only half of a cat.
What do you mean?
The front half of a cat.
Chopped in half?
Or torn in half.
Oh.
And the thing is covered with spit, and its bowels are trailing out of the lower half of it. So, I mean, it had this. It was basically the front half of a cat and then a big piece of large intestine trailing out of it.
What happened to it?
Hope everyone's enjoying their breakfast. Well, first, my immediate thought is this has got to be wild dogs. Have you guys ever witnessed a couple dogs gang up on a cat and tear it to pieces?
No.
See, I've had that happen to me before. I was driving through my old neighborhood and heard some girl screaming, help, help, and I stopped and went over there, and she was screaming her head off as we're watching these two dogs rip her cat in half.
Wow.
That was very disturbing. And now here again, I stumble upon this half of a cat, and I'm looking around at the scene, and there's little clumps of hair throughout the yard and everything, so I'm thinking, I wonder when this attack happened. There are already flies on the cat, so it looked like it had happened probably the night before or something to that effect. Also, disturbingly, there was a... I was wondering, did a dog from this neighborhood do this? Or was this some sort of stray dog that came through here?
Coyote.
That's... So I called our... We have a police officer that works our neighborhood or whatever. And I called him and told him, I said, hey, just want you to be aware of this. If you want to go by and drive by and look at this thing, I don't think it's any sort of human done, because, you know, you always got to be watching out. If there's somebody in the neighborhood that's killing cats, that's very disturbing. So this appears to be an animal attack. He goes, I guarantee you this is a coyote. They are all over the place out here. Meanwhile, I live deep in the heart of the strong city. And I don't live in a rural area like
coyotes
you do, Giorgio. Coyotes are all over.
Yeah. Really?
Dallas.
You bet.
Yeah. And I guess they work along creek beds and things like that.
Yeah.
I just don't see how they escape detection. But this police officer who patrols our neighborhood at night says he sees them all the time out there. So Rick Perry didn't have a bad idea carrying a laser-sighted 38 at his side at all times.
Mm-hmm. And they've always said that coyotes won't bother people, but I'm not so sure about that. There's a pack of them?
This officer I talked to said that they aren't scared of people. He said he sees them at night and they don't appear scared. And, I mean, it tore this cat to pieces. And so now I'm faced with this task. So I've got this half a cat laying in front of this lawn. So I go up and I ring the doorbell. And I ring it and I ring it. No one home. Go across the street.
Well, why do you have to play the part of the coroner or the... I'm so sorry to tell you that your cat is...
Well...
Because he wants to see the look on their faces?
I think that may be, yeah.
I don't want someone else to get that enjoyment.
You're sick.
No, don't... Wouldn't you do that? If you saw someone, or let's say a hit animal on the road that was dead, and you're thinking, oh, this is somebody's pet, you wouldn't try to let them know about it?
No.
No. Really?
No.
I thought it was like protocol that you...
I don't think I would have... Is this like your neighbor? Like your next door neighbor? Or...
Yeah, they're,
I wouldn't even got out and looked at it.
Yeah, if I recognize the pet, yes, I would...
Yeah, or throughout my street, I might. And say, hey, you know...
But I pass dead dogs and cats all the time.
Well, I mean, I certainly do on the highway or something, but if this is in your neighborhood and it's just a few houses down and you see that, oh, man, someone's pet's down... I should at least go check on it, see if there's a tag on it, and then let the people know.
Yeah, if it's my block, I would. So you do.
Or say it's, what if it's a one neighborhood over? Would you do it then?
No.
Really?
I got to draw the line somewhere. If I'm out of town.
Yeah, you do have to draw the line somewhere. But even if I'm out of town, I think if I saw a dead pet on the side of the road in a residential area, we're not like on a major road, I would think, God, I can't just... pass by. First of all, you got to check and make sure the thing's dead, and then, and if it's right in front of a house, you've got to walk up to that house and ask them.
If here's my rule: if it's dead and it's on my block, I would then look for the owner. If it's dead anywhere outside of my neighborhood or my block, don't have time for it. If it still appears to be alive, yes, I'll stop and try to render aid anywhere in the world.
Those are Junior's rules. So I go across the street. He didn't know anything about it, so I don't know whose pet this was. But it had to have been a pet. I mean, it looked like a Siamese cat. You just don't see those out.
Yeah,
didn't find it.
Will tear up a cat.
What'd you do with the body?
Then I'm faced with this.
Why were you in charge of that? It was in someone else's yard, wasn't it?
It is in someone else's yard.
Well, then they'll figure
it out. And animal control won't get it unless it's in the street. And like I even mentioned to the across the street neighbor who didn't know who, you know, whose cat it was, he said he was going to call animal control. And I said, well, even if they would take it, you know, the people who own it may want to bury it. They may not want it to be taken away by animal control.
Yeah.
So then I'm faced with, okay, I can't find who owns this cat. It's in this neighbor's yard that probably doesn't own the cat. Okay. So do I take it and bury it now?
No. Just leave it there and go on about your business.
Okay, but what if this neighbor, what if they have young kids and they're, okay, let's go in the house. Oh, my God, Mom! And then they see a half an animal. Then they're traumatized.
You can't be responsible for the
world. That's not your problem.
Yeah, you can't be responsible for the world. Someone's going to see you burying this cat and think that you did it.
Right.
Nobody's with me on that.
No.
I mean, that's...
not even you, George? I thought you had a heart.
I do, and I think your intentions are good, but I just... You can't...
Gordo, a kid's going to stumble on it and see it.
You don't know that, and there's hundreds of dead dogs and cats around the city. You can't be responsible for all of them.
Right, but couldn't I be responsible for this one?
You could.
But you're not. You don't know if you're doing the right...
But you don't need to.
People think
you really are responsible for it.
It may have belonged to the people who lived right there.
All right, I've had this happen to me before, too. I was driving with a friend. It was late at night. We were coming home from work, and I was giving him a ride to his place, and up in front of us on Coit Road, there was an 18-wheeler, and we see a cat dart out in front of this 18-wheeler, and the cat was going to try to run through the trailer portion of it, right? Well, the back wheels catch the cat, sling it probably 30 feet into the air, and it comes landing, thud, down on Coit Road. Now, this is a very public road. So me and my friend felt guilty about leaving the cat there in the road. We'd at least get it off the road. And then we finally decided, well, no, if we're going to get it off the road, let's just bury the thing. He said, yeah, my apartment's by a creek. We'll just bury it out there. And this is in the middle of the night. So then it's like, okay, well, I had a garbage bag in the back of my car in my trunk or something that had some clothes
in it. Just such an emergency.
Emptied that out. Put the cat's body in there. Then I'm like, well, we don't have a shovel and everything. Well, I don't have a shovel at my apartment. All right. Well, my parents live nearby. This is me talking. My parents live nearby. We'll go get a shovel from their house.
So
next thing my parents know, I'm showing up at 2 in the morning with this friend, and we're asking to borrow a shovel. So they let me borrow the shovel with very few questions asked, which always disturbed me, that they didn't really want to know what was going on. We take the shovel. We go out behind his apartment complex. It was a full moon, so it was kind of bright that night. And I'm sure there were people who were watching these two guys, something in a big trash bag, and they're digging a hole and burying something.
Why did you go to that much trouble?
I don't know. I don't know. So what did I do with this half a cat yesterday?
I guess go borrow another shovel?
No.
Eat it?
Part black, I don't do that.
Oh, gotcha.
No. I think I made the very bad call of not burying it. I left it right there in people's lawn.
You don't know the story
behind
that.
Kids in the neighborhood.
You don't know that.
I should have put it somewhere where the adults would find it, but the kids wouldn't. So I thought about, should I break into this house, find their porn stash, put it there next to the porn stash?
They may already know about it. And he went to go to Ace to go buy a shovel, and he's going to take care of it. You don't know.
I should have moved it into the flower bed or something. I mean, it was laying right out there for everyone in the neighborhood to see. It's like the coyote was trying to send a message to the neighborhood.
He was. Maybe to you. Quit worrying about all the cats and dogs around here. I'll take care of them.
Why do I always stumble into these situations?
I don't know.
It's whether like it's the bird. Remember the bird?
The bird that you put out of his misery? The dog that got
okay, did I make the wrong call with the bird? Didn't I make the right call?
In that case, you may have done the right thing, but it didn't look like the right thing.
It didn't look right.
All right, that story was I was driving home from work from here at the station, and there was this female grackle that was kind of standing out in the middle of the road. And my car is approaching. Birds always get out of your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving up to it. And as the female grackle takes off to leave, there was a male grackle, because we were in full-blown mating season, who swooped down, who was going to try to make love to the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see my car coming. She saw it coming. She takes off. He lands right in front of me as my car hits that spot. And so I hit him, and I look in my rearview mirror as I pass him, and he's laying down on the ground convulsing and
with his legs up.
Yeah, and I go and I look at him, and he's still alive, doesn't look like he's about to die immediately. And so I went and got back in my car, put it in reverse, and backed over his head to put him out of his misery, rather than just let him sit there and suffer.
That's what that Gracco was thinking. Okay, I think I can make it.
And then I looked over, because there were restaurants nearby. I looked over, and there were two ladies sitting there just with their mouths open, horrified, who had not only watched me nail this thing going full speed, but then put it in reverse and back over him.
They thought you were a monster.
Yes. They thought I was evil.
Right,
and meanwhile,
right.
I was doing something to try to be compassionate.
Let's bury that
bird. I'm telling you, I'm surprised there are not more wheels off rumors about me in this town, what a mean person I am or weird person I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there
I thought
are.
About this the other day. I had lunch with another homeless guy the other day. There's this one burger place I go to. Every time I'm walking to it, there's a homeless person will hit me up for money. And I always do the same thing. I say, look, I don't want to give you money, but I'm going in here to have lunch by myself. You're welcome to join me. And so I always go in and have this one. It's this one place. I've done it three times now. Had lunch with a homeless person.
Different people.
Yes. So every time they see me, I'm having lunch with a homeless person.
Right.
Like, what is Gordo up to over there?
I think you enjoy talking to them and scoreboarding them.
Yeah. The homeless.
Yeah. That's another way for you to scoreboard the homeless.
You get him. Now, where'd it go wrong for you?
That is so false.
What's the homeless guy's reaction when you hand him the check then afterwards to make him pay?
I always do the joke, hey, you want to go halvesies? No, I'm just kidding. Of course you can't go halvesies.
Jeez.
I don't ever do that joke. I'm very nice and conversational with them. But these people that work at this restaurant see me come in there with a parade of people going, man, I think Gordo's like on drugs or something. He's always coming in here with these junkies. What's up with that? So, no, I bought that guy.
Well, that's nice of you.
His meal.
Why don't you give these guys jobs to come help you bury animals around the city?
I don't think they want jobs.
You don't think so?
No, and this guy even asked me when it came time to order drinks. He goes, you're not going to get a beer or anything?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'll just stick with Diet Coke. Oh. Hey, you mind if I get a beer? No, I'm not going to buy you a beer. And so then they just kind of poke at their food a little bit, you know. But they're all, it's really sad because they're all very self-conscious about going into these places. I guess they've been kicked out of them a million times.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I smell horrible. I'm dirty. Should I really go in here?
Mark.
Like, no, come on in. Sit down. And then, of course, I made out with him behind the dumpster. To show him that I'm not afraid of homeless. You would have done the same thing. Don't you look at me like that.
Did you use the shovel on him, too?
After I made out with him, I had to kill him to get rid of the witness.
That's the real story about when
you... Yeah, he had proof that I made out with a guy. So I had to club him. And that's the story of me finding half a cat. So today I'm going out and looking for the other half.
All right, we'll see you out at Summer Bash. Gets underway here in just a couple of hours at noon. Bad Radio will be out there at Sneaky Pete's on the Hardline and the Round Tables. And then the Ticket Time Wasters.
You must acknowledge me.
Did you find it, Jer?
Okay. What is this?
I don't know. I'm just ignoring.
I'm half cat.
Now you're making fun. That's someone's pet that you boldly claimed.
Not anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I am now.
Well, tonight, these Ticket Time Wasters.
You cannot possibly imagine.
Summer Bash. I'm doing a Stone song, that Street Fighting Man. That's what Danny wanted me to do.
Yeah. All right, then.
Did you ever used to watch the Sean and Ash show?
No.
I guess not. You never watched that?
No.
I did. I would watch this show.
I'm not talking to half cat.
When I was a whole cat.
Norm, what you got coming up today?
Just tuned in.
We got more conference talk.
Uh-huh.
We've got the World Cup, weird facts from the World Cup, all sorts of notes, players, nicknames. Mm-hmm. Some of these teams have the finest nicknames.
Would you like half cat to stick around and talk about conference realignment with you?
I will stay and land on your shoulder.
Do I need to answer that?
Gosh.
No, you don't.
Okay, so we're all picking
Let
names this morning.
My disemboweled guts. Sorry,
Norm.
In your face.
I'm sorry. I took. Yes.
I can smell your bottom.
Yeah, maybe like Han and Carbonite in Empire Strikes Back.
But you're. Sickness. But you're it just. Will wear off soon.
But you're just in. Your feet are. In
say
such
hello
a way.
To half cat.
Do you know who half cat is?
Yeah, you didn't hear half cat on this morning? I don't think I did. But you sound like Leia before she takes the helmet off.
Well, half cat sounds that way.
Okay. You know,
half cat is the front half of a cat that I found yesterday in my neighbor's yard.
And she called in at 8:40?
She just joined us for crosstalk.
Yeah, he joined George for crosstalk.
Okay.
And threatened to assume George's body.
Really?
So he could make love to the world.
Now, how'd that make you feel, George?
Weird. That's what Gordon specializes in. He likes making people feel weird and uncomfortable.
I love being a whore.
Let me climb up your leg and go
half-cat. Half-cat. And the sad thing is, 6 years from now, we'll probably still hear from half-cat every once in a while. It'll somehow have this strange staying power.
I fully expect half-cat to start voting on e-break now.
Still trying to take over your body.
Half-cat.
Well, he needs to assume a human form since he's only half a cat now.
Right, right.
You should have seen this thing too, Bob. I mean, it was basically cut in half, but yet its large intestines were trailing back behind it.
Oh, no.
It. Yeah.
And how do we get in this state of disrepair?
Yeah, I think it's coyotes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to, we talked about, and we told the story again about Gordo hitting the bird when he was driving along, and the bird didn't quite die, so he went back and ran over it just to put it out of its misery. And he's just wondering what the people...
And there were two people watching me do this the whole time. You know, the sickest son of a bitch ever.
And we also think about what the grackle is thinking as Gordon's putting it in reverse, going, oh my God, wait a minute. Wait.
It's okay, it's just a wing, I'll be fine. Oh my good God, what's happening? That's a Yokohama rabbit right in my feet!
But I was talking to a friend today on the phone, and he ran over a squirrel, and he looked back and said, oh, my gosh. All he's doing is just, popping his tail up in the air. He's really struggling. He said, I'm going to have to pull a Gordo and go run over him.
A Gordo. That's what it's been.
So now it's called a Gordo.
Hey, and I've had to do this before. It seems like I'm always having to put animals out of their misery because no one else will. Everyone backs away from
Everyone
it.
Everyone just watches them.
There was a baby bird that was, I was over at my friend's house, and there was a baby bird out back that had been attacked by a cat. It had fallen out and gotten gnarled up pretty bad, but it was still alive.
Right.
And she's like, "Oh, we can nurse it back to health." And I'm like, "It's halfway decapitated. You're not going to graft a worm's head onto its body. It's going to live, you know." So I said, "We have to kill it. Do you have anything to kill it with?" And she had a hatchet.
Oh no!
So I had to go out there and think of something as sweet and innocent as a baby bird. And I had to take a hatchet to its neck.
And it looked at you the whole time, huh? Right.
Get...
Yeah,
oh, no, right. Wait. Take that. Dude, put down the hatchet. Sit down from the ticket. Oh.
Did you try to fit it for a hood? A little beheading hood, maybe?
Did you put a blindfold on it and a cigarette in its mouth?
No, I laid a leaf over its little eyes and then chopped its head off.
Wow. Why don't you just, like, step on it or something?
That's even grosser, hearing the crunch.
But a hatchet?
The hatchet was...
That's the last thing that baby bird saw was that...
A smart, swift... ending to its life.
Wow.
So slowly being crunched.
I told you the worst one ever. When I was like my youngest son's age, I was like 10, and there was a horse that got out of a trailer, got hit on a road.
Guy was keeping a whore in a trailer?
Horse. And it was running wild in this parking lot behind our house. Basically, it was down to three legs, and his third leg was just dangling, bleeding all over the place.
Did you immediately pull your pants
down? And the sheriff came out... The sheriff came out with his rifle and put it down.
Whoa.
In front of everyone.
Like Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, my God. Look, yes, it was just like that.
With the butts and the shotgun.
And everyone just kind of went silent.
Going down the creek, coming in my
head. So anyway, that's his poor story I wanted to tell you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I like Gordon's stories better.
Do you?
You know, the
you're
grackle.
You're pulling your pants down, yeah.
Oddly enough, the grackle is the only animal I've ever hit with my car. And I live in a neighborhood that I swear is like the hellmouth that all squirrels come out of the earth in.
I didn't know the humane thing was to go back and run over it again.
Well, if it's not dead yet, yeah.
I don't know if everybody would sign off on that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that.
It might be the humane thing.
All right, so you see the cat in the lawn. These guys are giving me flack for knocking on doors and then talking about burying it.
Yeah, I tried to go find the owner.
Or you like holding it by the scruff of its neck?
Yeah, I was holding it like Medusa's
small
head.
Intestine. Yeah,
like Clash of the Titans.
Hey, is this yours?
He's swinging it over his head.
Stare into its eyes.
All right, that's enough talk about half cat.
I'm here now, George.
It's 6:31 here on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket.
Assume the shape of your testicles.
Now, if you thought that was great, wait till you hear what's next here from Con Summer Bash at Sneaky Pete's.